Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call? K2BAR. Is the right answer? Alrighty. Let's see if we can get this going. Alright, so what is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net? This net is run weekly on 146.955, the 2-meter repeater in Alpine of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. They're kind and gentlemanly enough to let us use the repeater. And we have a conversation about amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, the natural phenomena that support all this good stuff, the underlying science. We also talk about what we do with it. We talk about our experiences, the fun we've had, the challenges we've overcome, the challenges that we've just jumped into with great zest and thrilled at what we've been able to accomplish. So in essence, we talk about pretty much everything we do in life through the lens of amateur radio. So we encourage you to participate, whether or not you have a question or a comment. We'd like you to check in so that we can, you know, kind of steer the conversation to a level and to a direction that makes sense for those who might be listening. We don't want to talk over people. We don't talk at them. We want to speak with them. So we hope you'll participate. You can register questions, comments, also for sale or swap items, including stating a price. You can't negotiate on the air, but you certainly can post what your interest is. And you can do any combination of those things, or you can say none of the above. All of those things are acceptable. So, with that in mind, let us proceed. Are there any stations whose call times begin with the letter November? Okay. How about stations whose call times begin with the whiskey?
WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River.
Good evening, James. Questions, comments, for sale, swap, none of the above? What are we doing?
No questions this evening. A couple of minor/trivial news flashes. I've taken my Elcraft K2 out of a carton and hooked it up after 3 years, so I'm just starting to set that up now. And we'll see if anybody can hear me with the indoor antenna I'm about to set up. I will be at the Ham Fest this Saturday morning and looking forward to it. Back to net control.
So we'll come back to you about your K2 in a little bit. Very good, Jim. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty, how about alphas?
AC2GI. One question, no comment.
AC2GI, welcome aboard. Got your question. Let's see, any other alphas?
AC2D, no questions, just listening.
Good evening. Excellent. Any other alphas? Was there another alpha station?
UA2DJF, New York.
Was that an alpha station? You're a little weak, so I'm missing the prefix. Your call again?
WA2PJS, Bayshore, New York.
Okay, I got WA2 Papa Juliet Sierra and Bayshore. Okay, your name, sir, and do you have questions, comments, or for sale or swap items that you want to just let us know that you have them, and we'll go through the details later?
Papa Juliet Foxtrot, Bayshore, Long Island, New York. No comments, just listening, if I may. As long as you heard me.
I got their correction on the Foxtrot. Very good. Okay, very good. Welcome aboard. All right, any other alpha stations? Let's go to the Kilo 2s. Okay, Dave, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s? And any other helos?
KC2, you on hit?
Gary.
I got Paul and I got Gary. So Paul first and then Gary. What are the particulars? Mr. Paul first?
KC2, you on hit? Mobile, none of the above. I may have some questions later.
Cool. Gary?
None of the above. We're here.
Okay, very good. Any other kilos?
K2BAR, this is K2ZO.
Jim, I'm assuming you have one comment.
Yeah, I have actually two comments. That's about it. Two comments for you. I just was on the phone, so somebody else called me about the ham fest, so that's where I was, so I wasn't listening. But that's it, okay?
No problem. I'll put you at the top of the list in a minute. All right, any other kilos? Okay, any call signs, any flavor?
This is N2OEL, one question.
Good evening, Noel. Good signal. Any other stations, any call signs?
W2LCN, the name is Rick, with no questions, just listening in right now.
Okay, real quick, Rick, how's the baby and mommy and the rest of you?
Everyone is doing wonderful. My mom left to go back home, so it's just the family now, and everybody's doing well. We're adjusting to our new change, but she's adorable, so it's kind of good. We got a lawn stork to put out on Craigslist, so I'm doing some work to get that together. But it's all coming together slowly but surely. I got a beautiful baby girl. Thank you for asking.
After your two boys, you got the girl. We tried that stunt. We got a third boy. Oh, dear me. All right, really good. Anybody else for the net? All righty, well, let's get rocking. K2ZO, your comments, sir. K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Yeah, I have a couple of comments on the headset that I bought, and also on some on the antenna. See if I still have it here.
Do the Hamfest first, Jim.
Okay, and then the third one, of course, is the Hamfest. We do have the Hamfest coming up this weekend, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Hamfest, which is at the Junior Senior High School, 701 Ridgewood Road in Washington Township. And we're all set up for rain or shine. We do have inside space, so we rented that. Usually we don't use it all, but this weekend we may end up being inside. But things are going. Everybody's calling me, and I think we're going to have a good time. Back tonight.
Excellent, Jim. Very, very good. Anybody else have questions or comments about this weekend's HamFest at the Westwood High School in Washington Township?
K2GI.
Hi, Rich.
Yeah, Gordon, that's the question I had registered earlier. Jim, we're still on for 5:30 or 6? When do you want the bulk of the people that already signed up for those hours to show up? Over.
You don't really need to get there at 5:30. We'll have, I'll be there, a few other people will be there. When it rains, it's not the rain, it's the prediction of rain that causes things to be a little slow. So I would say that if you got there any time after 6, that would be fine. We'd love to have you there at the gate.
Did anyone ever notice that our Attorney General looks like an anteater? Sorry, that was a little random.
Never noticed that.
I'm just looking at him testifying and like the volume down. This one reminded me of an anteater, the way the nose came out. But anyway, silly me. Let's move on. Any other questions about the Hamfest?
I'm sorry, was that directed at me?
I was directing it to anybody who might be listening. For you.
Okay.
Well, I'm taking that as a no, Jim, so I will just add this, that there is a test session and you must be there at, I believe it's 9 a.m. They will not start them much later than that, 9:30 or so. But they would like to get that test session started and done. I think it's 9 a.m. Is that right, Jim?
Actually, I think you'd be better off getting there at 8:30.
Okay. 8:30 it is then. I will pass that along. But there are testing facilities for those who wish to either get their licenses or upgrade. I might actually have somebody taking a test on Saturday, one of my recent Eagle Scouts. Anyway, with that in mind, let's get to your other more, shall we say, technical questions.
Okay, KQBAR, K2ZO. Okay, well, I had mentioned before that I had seen some good comments on the Plantronics GameCom 377 headset. This is a very interesting headset. It has what is called a pass-through earphone. And it's interesting because you can wear the earphone and listen to your radio, and yet you can hear other sounds coming. You know, if your wife comes down and asks you a question, you could hear her. But it's made for gamers, and I had seen some very positive comments about it. Let it drop here a sec. Well, I bought one, the Plantronics the GameCom 377. The earphones are great. They work fine. It requires some voltage because it's an electret mic. And, of course, the voltage is about 5 volts coming out of your computer. So in doing some investigation, I find that the voltage coming out of my ICOM is about 5 volts. Well, I hooked it up. I hooked it up to the ICOM, the radio, and I was kind of disappointed. The audio is okay. The audio is fine. The receive audio is fine for the headphones. But the stupid microphone on this thing does not move out in front of your mouth. It's off to the side. And you have to turn the gain up way, way high in order to make it work. Well, when you do that, you get all kinds of ambient noise and stuff like that. So I was very disappointed. Unfortunately, you'd have to really cannibalize this thing to make it work better, because the microphone isn't like a flexible thing that you can move around. It just moves out to the side, and it comes off to the side of your face, but not over in front of your mouth. And if I take and turn my head and talk directly into it, it works fine. But the way it's set up, even with the gain all the way up on the radio, or with this thing off to the side, it just doesn't work well. So I'm very disappointed, so I'll have to give that a negative, okay? And let me drop it, and I'll make another comment on the other antenna thing I did. Okay, the other comment I have is, as you know, I've been fooling around with the off-center fed antennas. I have a 40-meter off-center fed, and I have an 80-meter off-center fed. And, of course, the off-center fed antennas work on the second harmonic. So the 80-meter off-center fed antenna, fed with a balun, at the 200-ohm balun, 33% off-center fed, works quite well on 40. And in doing a lot of tests, I have found that the 80-meter antenna works better or as just as well as the 40-meter off-center fed. So what I did is I converted the 40-meter off-center fed to an antenna that I want to use on my 10-meter net. In running the 10-meter net with the beam, even with the stepper set up as a figure-eight pattern, I still have a problem hearing people off to the side. So what I did is I took my off-center fed, open wire line fed, 300 ohm, and converted it to a triangular loop. And it's 24 feet on each side of the thing, which makes it a two-wavelength loop, three 24-foot sections, an equilateral triangle, and fed it with 50 foot of open wire line, a kilowatt twin lead transmitting, and a 4-to-1 balun down by the window. And And this thing works great on 10 meters. It has lots and lots of lobes on it, because, again, what I'm looking for is an antenna to run a net, not a DX antenna. And it's the best antenna I've had for that. The dipole had lobes, and, of course, the beam, when pointed in one direction, couldn't hear in the other direction. So it worked out very well. So anyway, this thing is fed with 50 feet of 300-ohm transmitting twin lead, a 4-to-1 balun, and it's absolutely flat across the whole 10-meter band. And, of course, being two wavelengths long, it's resonant on 20 meters and doesn't need an antenna tuner. So on 20 and 10, this thing works quite well without a tuner. You do need a tuner if you want it to work on the other bands, which it does work on. You know, I'm talking now on 17 and 12 meters, but it doesn't work on 40 or 80. It's just too short. Anyway, that's the comments. Back to Nat. This is K2ZO.
Jim, one question. Is the loop flat, or is the loop hanging?
Forgot to mention that. No, it's a triangular horizontal loop, and it had loads, have lots and lots of lobes. Everybody in the net, no matter where they are, comes in fine.
24 feet on a side sounds absolutely wonderful. I think I'm going to try one of those. So, 72 feet of wire, feed it with 50 feet of twin lead, of open wire twin lead, and then a 4-to-1 balun at the window, and you're good to go.
And it works very well. And as I said, it works on all the other bands from 20 on down, and no problem at all. But of course, on 10 and 20, no antenna tuner is needed. But on the other bands, you do need a tuner. However, it's not that bad. The tuner in the radio is enough to tune it, even though that kind of cuts back on some of these things. But the SWR is not that bad, so the tuner in the radio works fine.
That sounds excellent. So let me ask a different question. If I had the loop about 35 feet in the air and very flat, if I could actually get that loop to be flat, and my shack is, let's say the triagonal portion is pointing back toward my house, but the feed point was in the middle of the opposite side, the flat, the straight side, not the pointy side pointing toward the house, and that I had the twin lead draped down to about the 10-foot level, let's say underneath, kind of coming back underneath it. That wouldn't be a problem, right?
No, this is K2ZO. No, the way I have it, I have the twin lead connected to it up at the tower. It's off the tower, and then it goes down to one tree, and then, of course, over to the other tree, the triangular loop. And 50 foot down, right by the window, is the 4-to-1 balun, and then there's about a 10-foot piece of coax, RG8, going over to the radio. And it works fine. I see no directivity, which is, of course, exactly what I wanted. I wanted a great big blob of RF, and it's about 25 feet high. I could have put it higher, but I didn't want to, because I wanted to be a cloud warmer and put out a signal that's going to be broadband all over, for local. And it appears to work. It works fine.
Yeah, it sounds great. Yeah, my problem is, of course, that my shack is on the third floor, so I don't have the drop, and getting things above 35 feet for a horizontal wire of any kind is tricky. So what I'm thinking of doing is having it come from the far end of the yard, sloping down underneath the loop to get that 50 feet of twin lead in, get the balun in at around 10 feet above the ground, closer to the house, say above the pergola, and then run coax back up into the shack. I should be able to get something similar in the way of performance, but I don't think it'll be any big deal to have the twin lead, you know, flowing as an arc underneath the loop itself.
No, and I think you can use a shorter length of the twin lead. Remember, whatever's going on the twin lead is getting repeated every multiple of a wavelength. So there's no big problem. You could experiment with it. But I can guarantee you that you can pick a length of twin lead going to the bell, and that will give you a flat, SWR, no matter where. But if you think of the 50-foot line, if you go up the half wavelength, you're going to get the same thing again and another half wavelength again, which, of course, on 10 meters is not very much.
Exactly. Well, I have these four-inch tube insulators that you normally use for electric fences. They basically allow you to staple a wire to an electric fence, but Woody, AK2F, and Bob, WA2SQQ, bought some of these things, or something similar, and I think they bought them from, who did they buy them from? I can't remember now. But anyway, maybe Tractor Supply or one of these other places. But what I did was I took a soldering iron and just notched the end of each one of these things to make essentially a 3.5-inch insulator, and I'm going to glue them in with hot glue. But I'm going to make some. I'm going to make some 300 to 450 ohm open wire lead, and that's how I'm going to make my my insulators and make my feed line for such antennas.
Okay, well, I have kilowatt 300 ohm line for the wire mat. However, anything will work. The 450 line will work good. You can do that, except that you're just going to have to pick the proper length. You may have to do a little experimenting. But once you've got the right one, it'll work fine. The impedance of that antenna on the... remember, this thing is two wavelengths long, okay? So the impedance is about 200 or 300 ohms at that feed point, which, of course, matched that feed line. That's why I chose that. And it makes it a lot easier because I have a 4-to-1 bound down at the bottom. So I don't get any real wide changes in impedance like you would with, the 450 line or 600 ohm line. And that's the reason I did that.
Good idea. Yep. Okay. All right, that's splendid. Anybody else have some comments about this interesting little 10 and 20 meter loop? All right, Jim, anything more?
No, that's about it for tonight. And again, just remind everybody to come to the Hamfest this weekend.
Oh, yeah. All righty. Pretty good. Thank you, Jim. That was more than kind of fun. That was interesting. Downright interesting. AC2GI, Mr. Rich. Oh, I'm sorry, no. Jim, WATUMP, you had something you want to talk about, your K2.
Yeah, good evening. This is WATUMP. No earth-shattering news here. I want to get set up on HF again. I've been mostly on 2 meters and 440. So I took my K2 out of the box. It's been sitting there neglected for about 2 or 3 years now. And in the process of setting that up, I'm in an apartment, so I will be setting up an indoor antenna. I have a couple in mind. It's going to take a little bit of trial and error. Let's see, the first candidate antenna that I'll try will be 33 foot of wire, a quarter wave on 40 meters, and I'll run that against the radiator. It would be, in effect, a Marconi. And we'll see how that works. That's one possibility. The second possibility is a similar long wire where I would use, we've talked about it before, a UNUN, and we'll at the at a particular length, the SWR could be low at across multiple bands. We'll see if that how that would work. That's possibly one that I'll try. I also have a an unused piece of coax that runs up into the attic and back down, and I may just fire that up and see how that works as an end head. In any case, we'll see if anyone hears me or not, and I'll try and get on the I'll try and get on the 10-meter net this coming Monday, and we'll see how well or how bad it works. Back to net control.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm glad you're getting your K2 unboxed and stuff like that, and that sounds great. Anybody have any thoughts for Jim? Well, I'm looking forward to it. K2 is a CW and SSB rig, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it works 160 through 10 meters. Has the automatic antenna tuner, which will tune a 1 to 10 SWR. So I've tuned up 30-foot pieces of wire on 160. Not that that makes a good antenna, but it tunes it up and gives you practically 1 to 1. I'll do a little bit of experimenting to see what antennas I can set up.
That sounds great. That sounds really cool. All right, very good. Anybody else have any thoughts? Looking forward to hearing it on 10 meters on Monday as well. I should be on the 10-meter net. And, in fact, I plan to do a little bit of antenna work on Sunday at this point, because I think it's going to be Hell Sunday before the weather is clear enough to do it. Alrighty, so with that in mind, thank you very much, Jim. Rich, over to you. You have a question. AC2GI, K2BAR.
Yeah, K2BAR, AC2GI. I am thinking of either going to a headset with a boom mic or a desk mic with a plain headset. My Yaesu 950, FP950 here, that I've been on the air with since September, and getting tired of a hand mic, and I'm looking for recommendations. Which do people prefer for working HF? Over.
Hey, you realize this is a religious discussion, right?
I know. It's whether you buy a Ford or Chevy, so just maybe a poll would be better, what people use. Over.
All right. Well, I'll give you a couple of answers. There's a fellow who advertises a really cheesy little microphone that sounds amazingly good. I forget what it is, but it's got one-ear and two-eared versions. It's W2 something or other, but you see him advertising. And basically, he'll sell you a this cheesy computer headset, not like the kind Jim was describing, and an adapter for your radio that it plugs into. And I got to tell you, amazingly enough, other than the fact the mechanicals are painful, it works really, really well, and you can do it for like $35. Having said that, there's probably a lot of other, computer headsets you can get out there that you might be happy with. You can certainly try and play with. And one of the easiest ways to try computer headsets, at least the ones that don't require power, such as the one Jim was talking about, might be to get a Heil adapter for your radio. And that way, on an eighth-inch plug, you can just plug in any microphone you want and just mess with it. And that way, you've got some choices. So that's something that's kind of agnostic. To get the Heil adapter for your radio, and then just start messing with eighth inch connectors, and you can use a quarter inch PTT line for that, and you can do that as a foot switch or a plunger mic or whatever you want. Having said all of that, when I can, I like operating Vox or push to talk with a foot switch. That's my real preference. And when I do that, I must confess, I use Heil ProSense, but that's just me. ProSense, ProSense Plus, you know, find one you like and that's what you should use. But that's just me. I have a ProSense Plus which has two different cartridges in it, which is very nice. It's got a DX cartridge and a standard conversational cartridge. I've got others as well. So that's a good start. Anybody else want to volunteer what they use? K2ZO, what are you using?
This is K2ZO. I prefer a boom mic, at least for the home station. I have a Heil PT2 boom and a Heil 781 microphone. And I have a W2IHY preamplifier processor, which really does good things. And I use that and then a headset of headphones. And sometimes I use Vox, but I also have a foot switch and a hand switch with a little micro switch in it, and that works good. And if you want to see it, we'll bring it along on field day, and when you come out to field day, sit there and operate this and see what you think. This is K2ZO.
Anybody else have thoughts?
K2ZO.
Paul?
Yeah, I love high-quality audio. So, for me, I always use Sennheiser headphones. The ProSense I haven't actually been looking at, and I think, you know, for things like DX and compressors that are more tuned to that frequency spectrum, I think they would be good. One thing I like using is I use an M-Audio, like, preprocessor, to do my audio in and out of my computer, which, you know, cleans a lot of that up, but that also has, you know, like XLR connectors on it, so, you know, like at some point I will actually plug that through into the radio.
Very nice. Anybody else? I will say this, since I mentioned Heil, I'm not a big fan of their traveler headsets. I think there are plenty of other alternatives that, shall we say, are computer-derived that are adequate for the purpose for a whole lot less money. But having said that, Sennheiser and Heil, and among others, are really, really cool. You know, it's interesting. I can remember a time when people, you know, if someone really wanted to be outrageous, for their headset, they would use a Dave Clark headset adapted from aircraft because of the AM. Some of the guys really liked the Dave Clark headsets. But boy, talk about expensive. Yow. Anyway. So back to you, Rich. AC2GI, K2BAR.
K2BAR, AC2GI. Jim, I didn't even think about field day. Wait until I see what the guys use there is a really good idea. And Gordon, when you say you have two cartridges in your Heil headset, are they both in at the same time and with a switch, or do you need to switch them out depending on what you're doing? Over.
They're both in the boom, and the boom is properly positioned, and there's a switch on the boom that you just change cartridge types.
Okay, thank you very much. Back to net, AC2GI.
Let me also make one other pitch for the ProSet Plus, because I have a ProSet which I've had for a longer time. But, you know, I got the ProSet years and years ago, maybe 10 years ago or more, and I was using Jim Jackson's ProSet Plus one day with his Pro 3 on VHF contest, actually. And one of the other things it has on the earphones there's a phase reversal. So if after a while you're getting fatigue from the audio phasing, you can reverse the phase of the audio in your head, and it really does help spell fatigue. It's really kind of interesting how that works. So the Pros Set Plus, it's a heavy, it's not heavy, but it's a large headset compared to a Pro Set. The Pro Set Plus is really good. And Heil's got some new models out, and I'm not going to tell you the Heil's the be-end-all, because I just don't believe it is. But I found them to be very, very comfortable. They've got little booties over the ear things, so you can throw them in the wash and wash them up. And, so they get skaggy in your ham shack or sweaty, whatever, after field day. You can pull the little socks off the ear pieces and wash them with mild soap and dry them, and away you go.
Okay, thank you. EC2GI.
Yep. Okay, very good. By the way, they have a variety of cartridges. They have an HC3, an HC4, an HC5, and an HC6. HC6 I'm not overly fond of. Some people like it, but it's kind of like a MOR, as a radio format. It's just a little too homogenized for my taste. I like the DX cartridge type, and I like the normal, cartridge as well for things like FM. And I'm not trying to sit there and ring the last little bit of, power into a narrow bandwidth to get that punch. Sometimes that can be a little grating on people, so you like to kind of back that off. It's nice to be able to do it at the flip of a switch as opposed to having to mess with the settings on your radio itself. Alrighty. Anybody else want to comment about microphones, headsets, etc.? And don't discount the computer ones. You'd be amazed. But don't spend a lot of money on those, because, again, if you go down that road, you want to keep it simple. As I said, you can get the Heil adapter for your radio and then mess with microphones all day and night, which may be the right answer. That's what I do with my radios, too. I have Heil adapters for most of my radios, just so I can mess with them. All right. Let's see. Who is next? Noel, where are we, sir? KQBAR.
Mine's an easy one for you. I think we discussed that when you go camping, you basically can get a space 20, 30 feet wide, maybe 40 if you're lucky, by 50, 60 feet long if you're lucky. And basically there's usually trees at one end. You can't really put a horizontal antenna. You have to go vertical. And I bought from the Hawaiian Radio Club an NFED 6 to 40 meter multi-band HF antenna, which is basically a T106-2 IR core. They give you some copper wire and so forth. I actually bought the assembled one, and it's meant to be used with 30 feet of 18-gauge wire and no counterparts. Steve, WITW, tried it out a part of a day, and he wound up making it as a scoper, and then he tried with 53 feet of wire, and he was much happier that way. He said it worked reasonably well. So my question is, if I wanted to get a heavier core, how do you translate these cores from one to the other? T1062, I don't really know if I wanted to get, a kilowatt core instead of a 100-watt core. How would you figure this out? That's the question. N2OER.
So your question is, how would you figure out which length of wire to use?
No. How do you figure out how to get the right core? Say I wanted a core that was a kilowatt instead of a 100 watts. How do I do it?
Okay. So that you don't cook it, or so that you can get the right match? Because I'm not actually sure how to select the cores, but a couple of things come to mind here, right? The permeability of the material, and, you know, its suitability for the band you want. But, you know, I don't know. I'm going to punt this one. Anybody else want to take this one?
This is K2ZO.
I was hoping you'd say something.
Okay. Noel, the core that you have in that that antenna is a powdered iron core with a two. The two is the permeability. Some of the other cores, of course, are much higher in permeability, but they do get lossy. But remember, that's a transformer, so you want a powdered iron core. All you got to do is go bigger. And they do sell a T300-2, and I actually have one that's even bigger than that. However, the other problem I think you're going to have, if you really want to run a kilowatt to an NFET antenna with a 9-to-1 balance, is you're probably going to get a lot of RF coming back down the line. But the thing is, it's a number 2 core. It's a transformer. It's a, 9-to-1. And you don't want a ferrite for that application because you end up with lots of losses. But I'm not sure exactly how you figure out the size of it. However, I do have a couple of bigger ones that I think would probably work with that for a kilowatt. But I don't think I would want to try a kilowatt. I just think you'd have too much RF coming back in that.
I think we should let's go through the nomenclature a little bit, Jim. What does T stand for? The 300 is 3 inches, and the 2 at the end is permeability. As a starting point. And those are pretty standard across the industry, correct?
Yeah. If you're going to make a transformer, remember what this thing is an auto transformer. It's not a choke. If it's going to be a choke type balun, then you can use type 31, type 61, depending on what frequency you're at. But those things are lossy if you're using them as transformers. But the type 2 is powdered iron, and that's basically a transformer type setup. So that's what's it. And of course, as you say, the T 240 is 2.4 inches. The T 300 is the 3 inches, and I have a T 500, a T 5, which is a 5-inch diameter, a big one that I've experimented with here. Back in that.
Exciting. Anybody want to chime in with some comments for Noel's question?
WA2UMZ.
Go right ahead, Jim.
Okay. I looked into the UNON type of matching NFET antennas, and it seems like online I see three particular brands that stood out. There's the Ultimax 100. I think it's rated at about 2 kilowatts. Ballon Designs also makes a similar set. I did see the Hawaiian Radio Club's kit that they did sell. Let me see. There were a few others. Work with any of the different UNUNs, and what were your results?
Dealt with the Ultimatch, and it was okay. It needed a longer wire. I had a similar experience with that. I think it came with 31 feet of wire, and I extended it to 53, and I was a lot happier when I used it that way. Related note, I've used a 9-to-1 Malin for a loop, and that was or an OCF. I've tried both, and again, those, as Jim said, you might want some way to keep RF out of your radio, out of your hair, so you might want one of those choke filters further down the coax, just to keep RF from coming and biting you. On a related note, anybody else?
Thank you, William.
Mr. Noel?
Yeah, I wasn't really intending to run a kilowatt. However, I do have a nice little ALS-600, which I would use at 300 or 400 watts. And I've always believed in overrating my components so that I don't have the unfortunate incident where you look up in the air and there's a fire as your sound is melting and the antenna falls in half because you just burnt the copper wire through. So I wasn't really intended to run a kilowatt. It's just that I was thinking it would be a safety factor. And basically what I was going to do is instead of putting this in a box, it's coated with a rubber compound, and if they break, they break. That's what I was thinking of doing. Wind it in the seat, and, you know, just tossing it out there, and it would be just the core, the wire, and the coax coming in, and a piece of wire going up in the air. That's what I was thinking. By the way, it's 56 of them, or you can get one for about 25 on eBay of the T300-2. I didn't realize the 2 was the permeability. That was the question, really, that I was looking for. This is N2OEL.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like any other transformer, you know, you need to make sure there's enough places for, you know, to not arc over. You need to make sure that, you know, you're not going to have any issues with heating. I mean, so size matters, as they say. Alrighty. Anything else from the Peanut Gallery on this one?
EC2GI.
Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm running an Ultimax. They call them DX Extremes, that series, 53-footer from my chimney out to my neighbor's tree. I'm very pleased with it. I only can do 100 watts. I don't have any amplifiers or anything like that. And I'm on the side of the hill facing east. I'm very, very pleased with the coverage that I get. Wish I could get the Asian coast a little bit better, but I have to tell them to bulldoze William Patterson University so I get up and over the top of them. But I'm very happy with it. Two other hams that I work with, they have the 72-foot version, and again, they've been very, very happy with that. Over.
Interesting. Very good. Anybody else?
WA2UMP, just observation, it seems like the Ultimax seems like that's the most popular Onan. Is that, anyone else have the same observation?
It's certainly one of the more popular ones. As I said, I had one, and, you know, I was using it in compromised antenna situations, and what I later realized is, for my purposes, a 40-meter dipole 6 feet off the ground was better than an Ultimax 6 feet off the ground. So if I had the room for the wire, just deal with it, even if you have to twist and bend the wire around. However, I think the Ultimax has some other characteristics that were pretty cool, in the fact that the thing loads up in a lot of different places, and that's not going to happen with your 40-meter dipole, you know? So. But I was looking at how I was using it, when I was using it, you know, with whom I was using it. You know, I was better off. 40 was
kind of my bread and butter most of the time. So it made good sense for me to go that route. In any case, I think that with a longer piece of wire, the Ultimax can give you a lot of flexibility.
Comment?
Comment, go.
AC2GI again. There's a difference also with it. They're not interchangeable as far as he makes them to match the specific wire length. So if you buy the 53-foot version and now you want to put a 72 on, the boxes are unique. You'd have to replace the box as well. And the comment that I really want to make is on my Yaesu, I don't have any external tuner. I only use the auto tuner within the radio. And with that 53-foot Ultimax, I can tune up 10 through 160 without a problem.
That may be true with a 53 to 72, Rich, but I was able to take my little 31-footer and extend it to 53 and just fine.
Okay.
Having said that, I think today I would just use I would go for the longer wire where possible. I think that makes good sense. And just twist and torture myself around. There's no reason why you can't take a 70-foot piece of wire or a 53-foot piece of wire and, run the wire up, down, and around. By the way, the Rangers just won in overtime, so they've avoided elimination, beating Boston 4-3 in overtime. So they're down 1-3. Go Bruins, anyway. Spoken like a true Devil fan, for those who wonder why I'm rooting for the Bruins. Anyway, with that in mind, back to you, Rich. Actually, let's see if anybody else has any comments for you first.
WA2UMT.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the folks at Ultimax narrowly define the length of the antenna wire you can put. I've seen some manufacturers, such as Valenzone, where they give you a table and you pick the length, and there are certain ideal lengths, like 53 foot, like 123 foot, these odd lengths that they recommend. So I was a little surprised that they're redesigning their transformer around the length itself. Just an observation.
I guess they didn't know they did that, but whatever. Rich would know. Any further comments? Brady, Rich, back to you.
I had made a comment. It was someone else that was asking the question. Over.
That's right. That was Noel. I'm sorry. I think it was Noel.
I got my answer. Thank you. And who were you?
Alrighty. Very good. That was pretty entertaining. Let me just take a standby here for if anybody else wants to check in. I've got a couple of quick updates on some gadgets I've been working on here, and I want to tell you all about them in a minute. But are there any other things people have been working on? Or people just want to check in with a question or whatever, please let me know. K2BAR.
Hello, K2BAR. This is Juliet Charlie. None of the above.
B2JC, good evening, sir. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, so the other day, as part of the mesh networking project a bunch of us have been working on, Carl came up with first an indoor camera that he has now affixed to a helmet, a bunch of a helmet,
And now, that was working fine, but he wanted a helmet he could take it out, put outdoors in bad weather, and not have to worry about the electronics getting destroyed, covering them up, or whatever. So the upshot was that found a way to do that with a nice, instead of a $45 camera, we found a somewhat heavier, more robust outdoor camera for about $100, maybe $90 if you look around, from a company called Foscam. They have an outdoor wireless IP camera. Now, these are IP cameras, and as such, they actually have an Ethernet connection, and in this case it also has a Wi-Fi ability too, so you don't have to even cable it other than to provide power. So we were taking some stock of this thing, and the first thing we noted was that the wall wart that it came with for power was a nominal little switcher 5-volt thing, and the problem is everything we're doing on battery portable type stuff is 12 volts. So he said, well, gee, how do we deal with this? So I took a one of those 3.1 ampere hour, or 1.1 amp, pardon me, dual USB chargers for your car, a little thing that plugs into your cigarette lighter and gives you a 2 amp or 2.1 amp port for your tablet and a 1 amp port for your phone. And has a total capacity of 3.1 amps. So took that in hand and carefully dissected it. Now I have this down at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow night. By the way, I haven't potted it yet intentionally so that people could see what we have. But lo and behold, it's got two ports. What I've done is I took the tip connector away that plugs in the cigarette lighter and wired on a little pigtail with an Anderson power pole on it so it plugs into a 12-volt bus. And then I basically cut away the metal around one of the USB sockets with some sharp diagonal cutters and exposed the four leads of a USB. Now, if you look at the four leads of a USB socket, if you're staring in at the socket with the contacts aimed up, the right one is a plus 5 volts. The left one is the power ground, and the two in the middle are the signal, the serial port, which we're not going to use if you need to have serial data for your USB. So what we did, let me drop it. What I did was I tack soldered right onto the contacts of the connector another pigtail, bringing two leads out. And the question was, well, gee, how do you put 5 volts on this in some connectorized way? And I say, well, gee, the obvious thing to do would be to use the USB connector, right? But getting USB plugs is not as easy as you might think, and a lot of us have stocks of Anderson power poles. So a discussion emerged as to how one might want to, go about using those, and one thought is, well, we can get a different color for the 5-volt combination and maybe reorient the pins. Well, okay, that requires you stock a different color, and we've thought about that. We've talked about that here before. And I said, well, maybe instead of having the two, power pole tabs shoulder to shoulder with the what they call red right up connectors, orientation of basically as you stare at this connector, the red is on the right, the pointy side is up, the tapered side is up, and the black one's on the right, on the left. And that allows you to basically make, mate power any which way you want. It works pretty well. The downside of that, of course, is that you have the ability to plug in a power source into a power source, and that can, in some cases, be a bad thing. Anyone who's used a boost regulator and had the mistake of plugging in plus 12 volts into the output of a boost regulator knows that the boost regulator does not survive that. So, I said, at least for the 5 volts, why don't we use the red and black, and come up with a new standard. And if you look at the little slots on the side of the